This is Pacifica Radio's Building Bridges, your Community and Labor Report special labor coverage of the AFL-CIO's convention. I'm Ken Nash. I'm outside the AFL-CIO Convention Hall with Gene Brushkin, co-convener of U.S. Labor Against the War, and we're talking about the historic resolution that the AFL-CIO passed to end the war and occupation of Iraq. Now, I had understood that the AFL-CIO was trying to delay the resolution so it would only come up till the end of the conference on Thursday, and then it was pushed forward to yesterday.
The decision that was made this weekend at the Resolutions Committee of the AFL was that the resolution would read on the issue of withdrawal, that they would bring the troops home as quickly as possible, number one, and number two, that the resolution would be discussed on Thursday morning, which is the end of the convention. And it's very common, and certainly this week be very likely, that you'll have an empty room. So we thought that that was inappropriate.
So what happened?
We made our opinion known to the council, and we asked those people who had an interest in seeing these resolutions properly discussed to communicate to Jerry McEntee and others our opinion. And we held a forum on Monday night that between 100 and 150 people attended with the Iraqis to discuss the occupation and the U.S. labor against the war, and importantly to decide how to make sure that this situation was corrected. As a result of that meeting, a message got to the executive council. They discussed it. They decided that they would accept the word rapidly, bring the troops home rapidly instead of as soon as possible, and that they would bring it up yesterday for a full debate. So we were pleased, and that's what happened.
You know, and everybody's going to get out their dictionaries at this point, because the question then becomes, what is the definition of rapidly? Some people are thinking that this is not as good as the resolution that was before, which said immediate pullout.
U.S. law, the resolutions are sort of base resolutions, call for immediate withdrawal. I think that, you know, the general feeling was, of all the people who spoke, was like, get them out of there. Get the people home, get the troops home, end the occupation. This is what Jesse Jackson said in the morning, bring the troops home, bring the troops home, and bring the troops home. And that was the tenor of the entire discussion, and our sense is we want them home fast. The question of immediate, in a way, although that's the word we have suggested in general, it's a word game, because immediate means, in 5 minutes. So we want them home, we want them home fast, and we want an end to the occupation. That was the sense. In fact, in the discussion on the floor, some of the people supporting the resolution said that, you know, this is to bring them home immediately.
The chair, Leo Garrard from the Steelworkers, what was his interpretation?
Leo started off by saying that there were 18 resolutions submitted from all over the country calling for an end to the occupation and bringing the troops home, and that there was widespread sentiment, and that's why I was coming to the floor. And what was interesting is that lined up at the mics, at every one of the four mics, were long lines of people standing up and denouncing the occupation and calling home for the removal of the U.S. troops. So I think the message was very clear that this is not something in Bush's discretion, you know, that will set a date and a calendar some other time. We want them home.
Do you think the AFL-CIO is going to really push this now, or are they going to sit on their hands?
Well, my guess is that, like a lot of other resolutions, particularly on these kind of issues, they can be seen symbolically by the Federation. And in fact, they can often be symbolic. But first of all, the symbolism is extremely important, because it puts the AFL-CIO on record. It is also important because for those thousands and thousands of activists around the country, it gives them an opportunity to go to their local and state bodies and to their organizations and say, we've got to be against this war and be out there publicly, because even at the highest levels of the labor movement, they've condemned the wars based on lies, and they called for bringing the troops home. So it, for the people out in the field who are really the ones that bring people into the streets, this opens a lot of doors, and we intend to make sure that this resolution is seen on the streets and in the union halls.
There's another part of the resolution that causes a lot of people concern about the international community training security forces in Iraq.
The resolution was not the U.S. Labor Against the War resolution. It was a resolution of the Executive Council. And in that resolution were support for Iraqi labor rights, were demand that foreign debts to Saddam Hussein be forgiven, were denouncing the Bush war as based on lies and deception. And we're calling for solidarity with Iraqi trade unionists. We agreed with all that stuff. There were things in there, in supporting the troops, demanding full rights for veterans, rights and benefits, supporting our own members and vets when they come home. There's a lot of stuff we agreed in. There were things in there that U.S. Labor and the war didn't agree with, and you don't get 100%. But what we decided is that rather than raise 11 issues that in a way were peripheral, we wanted to go to the one essential issue, which is when are the troops coming home? And they wanted to say as quickly as possible. And clearly, as soon as you put the word as possible in there, you are giving the Bush administration the decision on what is possible. We based it on the resolution coming out of Philadelphia, which had broad support in the Labor Council among the construction trades, veterans, and a range of unions where they call for a rapid withdrawal. So we figured that was a huge step in the right direction, and we got it through.
Do you think that the split in the AFL-CIO is causing them to be a bit more responsive to the delegates, to the membership?
Well, they're certainly vulnerable at the moment at this point for the AFL-CIO. And we made it clear from our perspective that if we're trying to build and make changes in the labor movement, certainly having democratic debate and being responsive to the perspectives of such a wide range of your membership is absolutely crucial. And I think to their credit, they heard it. And they responded to it, but I think it was also to the credit of that of all the folks all over the country and many of their representatives are here that they made sure their voices were heard.
What's the next step?
Well, the next step for us is to we have already been making sure that everyone all over the world knows that this is the case, and that we believe that September 24th is a crucial date, and that unions should have buses out there. That this has to be a situation where unions are seen on the street with their members, with their union banners, marching in the front of this march along with Iraqi vets and military families. So we're going to encourage that. We're going to try and get official buy-in. And in fact, yesterday at the forum of with Iraqi trade unionists, when Cecil Roberts, president of the United Mine Workers, said, "What can we do next?" One of the responses from the panelists, Huzan, a woman from the Federation of Workers' Councils, were, "Bring your members into the street on September 24th. That would make a big difference to the Iraqis." And she said something afterwards to me that was very profound, which is that by supporting the Iraqis, by supporting the Iraqi trade unionists, we undercut the support of the fundamentalists in Iraq who are sending the message to the people of Iraq that the Westerners are all your enemy. We have to align as fundamentalist Islamists against the infidels of the West. And what us being out in the street gives a different message, which is that there is a class perspective, there is a secular working class perspective, and that the Westerners support you, the everyday Iraqi. We're on your side, and we're against the occupation.
Now, the AFL-CIO still continues to receive about $35 million for the Solidarity Center through NED, National Endowment for Democracy, funds. And actually, they're a bit more dependent upon these funds now because of the AFL-CIO budget cutbacks. How do you think that portends for AFL-CIO foreign policy, both on Iraq and on other issues, say, Venezuela?
We've had discussions with them, and we've had discussions within U.S. Labor Against the War. And we think that kind of dependency on government funds is a problem because we know that fundamentally the Bush agenda is not our agenda. And certainly in Iraq, for example, where the Bush agenda is to privatize Iraq using the IMF mandates and so on, forcing the huge public sector in Iraq to be slimmed down, privatized, and sold off, essentially, and that the Iraqi unions are going to need to oppose that. The AFL is in a difficult position when it really comes to direct conflict with the U.S. government's policy if their foreign policy arm is funded overwhelmingly by the Bush administration. What was interesting for us, as an example, we've actually said that we think members need to be involved in foreign policy, and we have done that in every way we can. And this most recent national tour of U.S. Labor Against the War was a good illustration where members out of their own pocket over a 2-week period funded $50,000 for the Iraqi tour, which enabled us to bring the Iraqis to the country, put them up, transport them, feed them, and shelter them for 2 weeks, get them home, and give each of the three federations $5,000. And if we can do that in such an impromptu, grassroots way with U.S. Labor Against the War, we believe the AFL-CIO has the ability to actually generate funds from members and from local unions. The Canadians do it, and probably other countries, and you know, we would encourage that kind of direction.
So to encourage people to become involved through their labor unions in the end to the war in Iraq, what should people do? How do people find more information?
Stay tuned to the U.S. Law website. We already have some flyers up there that you can use as a basis to generate your own flyers. It's www.uslaboragainstwar.org. And also United for Peace and Justice has a lot of information up on their website.
Thank you so much. I've been talking with Gene Breshkin, co-convener of U.S. Labor Against the War. You've been listening to Pacifica Radio Network's special labor coverage of the AFL-CIO's 25th Constitutional Convention. I'm Ken Nash from WBAI's Building Bridges, your community and labor report. For more information, visit Pacifica at www.pacifica.org. That's www.pacifica.org.
Make new signs, make a new language. These will redefine the world.